attention is parked behind the safety car. And again, we just continue to wait out the red flag as cleanup and repairs to the Armco barrier continues. Check back in with Steve Post.
You know, the NASCAR community is always fascinating when we get to a red flag scenario like this. I'm down here in the Taylor Gray pit, and what they were able to do before the red flag come out, they were able to get the right front tire off. There's damage on the right front of this Toyota, and so they were able to get the right front tire off. Then the red flag come out. So there are crew members literally sitting 3 feet from the car just waiting for the signal that they can work on it. They've got a plan in place. They know what they need to do. They can look up under, and they've looked at all the suspension parts and pieces. They know what everything is. They just can't touch the race car. On the other side, there's one crew member over there. He's got one of those high-speed fans just getting a little air in there, because I can't imagine how hot it is in these race cars, and we're sitting in the sun and the sun's baking right down on the windshield, so getting a little cooler in for Taylor. But right now it's just a waiting game, and when that caution flag comes out, they will be back to work on the Taylor Gray Toyota. So just waiting and see what happens. Jason Ratcliffe, the veteran crew chief here, keeping a keen eye on things from atop the pit box. But damage on the right front of the gray car. The fender is pushed in, and looking up under it, looking to see if there's any suspension or component damage under there. Not really sure, but they're just waiting till the caution comes out so they can work on this race car.
While we sit and continue to wait for the red flag to be lifted, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Motor Racing Network.
You're listening to coverage of NASCAR on Real Country 1430 WRDN, Durant, Mondovi, Wabasha. NASCAR coverage being brought to you by Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center, Durant.
Motor Racing Network live at Watkins Glen International, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, with 8 laps to go in the midst of a red flag after a 16-car pileup as we race the Mission Foods 200 at the Glen. I'm Alex Hayden. Kurt Becker's to my right with Todd Gordon to my left. Dave Moody in turn number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then you've got Kyle Rickey at the interloop in turn number 5. Tim Catalfamo, the short straightaway, turn number 6, as we've got Steve Post and Chris Wilner. Up and down the pit lane, the garage area, and the infield care center. 15 lead changes among 8 drivers so far in this race. Connor Zilich, the current race leader under the red flag, has led 53 of the 74 laps. And since there's no loud engine noise, Kurt, all the seagulls are beginning to make now circles over the infield trying to find a scrap or two while the race fans are in the grandstand seat.
Indeed they are, and as we continue to wait out the situation, again, ongoing repairs right now to the barrier system to driver's left and driver's right over on that portion of the racetrack over toward the south side of the course. A lot of focus on the Armco barrier, essentially the guardrail. If you're curious why during this now nearly 30 minutes of a red flag, why we have not updated you on the running order, it's because of the fact you've got a situation with cars that are stopped on the racetrack that are still in the running of the race. You've got the cleanup situation from the cars that were involved in the accident. Scoring monitor has not reset. So the only thing that we can pass along with any confidence right now is that Connor Zilich does show as the race leader. Again, this is with eight laps to go here yet this evening. Let's check in with Chris Wilner.
Chad Haney, the crew chief for Austin Hill, as he continues to wait out this red flag. It gives you a time to kind of compartmentalize everything that's gone on. How do you keep your driver not only pumped up but calm underneath the helmet after all that's gone on these last handful of laps?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, he first thing he said was Michael okay? And that's the main concern right now. I was glad to see him out of the car and talking. You know, I mean, everybody colleague racing. I mean, we work really tight with those guys, Eddie Perdue and all those guys. I mean, we really work really close with those guys. So I hated to see that. I mean, I felt like it was a racing incident. I don't really know. You know, I've watched it. I can't really tell. I mean, I know what Austin says. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, we'll get him back here, hopefully to get the guardrail fixed, and we get back after it here, and we can close this deal out.
Now you get to go fight for the win, and you're going to have to go through Connor Zilich, and I know he wasn't too happy with Austin a few laps earlier. So what do you tell your driver about the impending contact that probably will happen here?
Yeah, I mean, he knows what's coming. I mean, we'll remind him, but he knows what's coming. It's going to be a battle to the end here. I mean, it's going to be a dogfight, and we'll just see what we can do and come out of this. I mean, we've been fast all day. We've been really happy with our car. I mean, I feel like we made it a little better. We made it a ton better since Sonoma, so we're definitely happy. That's a positive on our side.
And when you just look at this weekend holistically, just getting back in a rhythm, getting Austin back in the seat, how proud are you of the way this team's responded and just shown the speed right out of the gate?
Yeah, it has. I mean, these guys, it shows a testament to this team. This team's a very tight-knit group of guys, and we all win together and lose together, you know what I mean? So it just, I felt like it actually made us stronger. I mean, Austin put in a lot more effort to shop. He came to the shop a lot more similar time. He always does, but even like a little bit more than normal just because he had a little more time. So, yeah, I mean, it's a testament to this team. I mean, this is a great group of guys on this 21 Bennett Chevrolet.
All right, that's Chad Haney, crew chief for Austin Hill. We're going to wait out the fence repair and the barrier repair, but his driver going to go for a win here at Watkins Glen.
You're right about that, and bring Dave Moody in on the conversation here. Dave is positioned at the top of the S, is about as far away from the accident site as you can be here on the property. But Dave, just a moment ago, we saw a heavy piece of machinery come by your feet down there headed to the accident site.
A heavy piece of machinery carrying two very large I'll call them Jersey barriers. They're not exactly Jersey barriers, but they're large concrete blocks that I believe are soon to be used to try and bolster up some of the fencing that got damaged down there at the far side of the racetrack. Unfortunately, that heavy piece of equipment is in no danger of setting a new track speed record. It's just kind of plodding along.
It is, Alex, you touched on this earlier. Obviously, you never want to see a situation like this happen. By the same token, when you have a pileup, 16 cars affected to some degree in this late race situation, are you as fascinated as I am with all of the crews at a NASCAR race on any given weekend? And they've got the resources, even if there are repairs that have to be made to, like in this case, to the Armco barrier. Man, here they come. Here comes the equipment. Here comes the manpower. Here comes all of the folks, men and women, that you need to take care of the situation.
You have to be prepared for just about any scenario that could take place on any given race weekend, from having, as Dave pointed out, giant concrete Jersey barriers that need to be hoisted into place, whether it be blocks of foam for safer barriers. Heck, the grass on some of these, what we call the ball field, or the grass area between the start-finish line front stretch from pit lane, there are actual some tracks out there on the circuit that grow that same sod off the property. So overnight, when fans come back the next day to the track, they can't tell that the grass had been messed up, because they come in with some fresh sod, they pack it down, and you go right back at it. Not to mention gallons and gallons of paint to repaint walls around these racetracks from a Friday race to Saturday or Saturday to Sunday. They prepare for anything and everything that they can possibly think of to try to make sure not only are the drivers safe when we resume racing or go racing, but fans are safe as well.
I've said it over the years that if you're fortunate enough to work as a broadcaster in NASCAR, when the day comes to an end, you take the headset off, and our biggest worry at that point is where do we go to have dinner this evening? Not everybody that works at the racetrack gets to go home at 5 o'clock, so to speak. Some of them have duties that will carry on well into the night, getting ready for the next day. Speaking of which, tomorrow, the NASCAR Cup Series, the Go Bowling at the Glen, our airtime, 1 p.m. Eastern time. That, too, is shaping up to be an excellent race.
NASCAR Live Race Day will get the table set for what will be a great day of racing in the Go Bowling at the Glen. Michael McDowell will drop by and be our one-on-one guest, and well, that'll be a fun conversation, but the focus now for Michael McDowell, clearly after we heard from him in the care center, is what's going on tomorrow. Put today behind you, move forward.
And he is someone that is very good at that, as are all of the drivers at this level, because they wouldn't be here if they didn't have that capability. As you say, look forward, keep moving forward, keep making progress, and you got to just put today behind you. He had such a good car, and he touched on it when he spoke to our Chris Wilner. Michael McDowell commented about the fact, he said, we had come to the front of the field at the right time. We were getting better as the day went on. They were getting stronger and stronger. And regrettably, incident sweeps him up when he was racing in the second position and brings his day to a close with 8 laps remaining here this evening.
So far, as we sit, 7 caution flags and 1 long red flag for the wall repair. Stage 1 was won by Justin Allgaier, if you're just joining us. Then leader Connor Zilich elected to come to pit lane just before the end of stage number 1. Stage number 2 went to Connor Zilich. Shane Van Gisbergen finishes the stage 2nd. Justin Allgaier, to this point in the race, has earned the most points of anyone, a total of 13. Sheldon Creed had earned 12 points by his stage finishes. Unfortunately for Sheldon, he was involved in a crash very similar position to where this latest crash took place on the short straightaway, and Sheldon Creed will finish back around the 35th position when it's all said and done. If you're just joining us, we had a great battle between Shane Van Gisbergen and Connor Zilich here recently, which involved contact going into the final corner, turn number 7, between Connor Zilich and Shane Van Gisbergen. Van Gisbergen got the short end of that one. He went hard into the outside safer barrier in turn number 7. He is out of the race. Shane Van Gisbergen had a good run, led 11 laps in the race today, but that basically brings us up to speed to where we're at under the red flag for the 16-car crash and damage to the wall.
Let's go back downstairs, check back in once again with Chris Wilner.
Well, unfortunately, Michael McDowell's day is done, but Christian Eckes' team car here at College Racing in position potentially for a really solid finish. You guys didn't even get a chance to qualify. Alex Yance is the crew chief for Christian, and here you are in the top 5. So how do you explain today?
I don't know. I don't even know how you go about explaining the day we've had today. You know, we unloaded with a really good pace and just kind of got caught up in somebody else's mess there in practice and didn't even get to qualify. So it's we've done a really good job, everybody on this team has, of clawing and fighting all day long to put ourselves in position to have a shot at a, you know, even a top 5. Really hate it for the 11 guys and Michael McDowell. They had a really solid race going and looked really good, like they was going to come home with a second place finish. So that's really unfortunate. Those guys have worked really hard all year long, and for it to end like that, you know, it's just tough. But just proud of everyone at College Racing for working so hard and getting us where we're at, and we'll just keep building on it, and hopefully we can survive the last 5 or 6 laps here.
Yeah, survive is the name of the game. I know you guys are currently scored 6th. What's the plan for the restart? And also by the fact that you had to come from the back a couple times because of that potential flat tire as well. So what's the game plan now to try to close this out?
I'm going to be honest, we kind of laughed before the race started and said if we can just come out of here with a top 12, we'll consider that a win. So, honestly, we just need to be smart right here because I don't really think the cautions are over yet, and I don't want to be in the middle of one either.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's one bit. That's Alex Yance, crew chief for Christian Eckes. Again, started at the back, didn't even qualify. They had a potential flat tire, had to come in off sequence, and suddenly now, throughout all the carnage here as of late, sits 6th and in position for a solid top 5 finish.
Yeah, we'll wait and see how it plays out. With still 8 laps to go as we patiently wait out a red flag. Now, Todd Gordon, the drivers are still sitting inside their race cars, parked over there on the racetrack, headed into the inner loop over there in front of Kyle Ricci. But, Todd, as a crew chief, in scenarios like this, do you just stay silent on the radio and let your driver catch a few moments to themselves?
Yes. Yeah, but if they've got questions, you carry the conversation back and forth. You do what they need out of it. Fortunately, NASCAR, under this red flag, NASCAR comes down through, and they bring water bottles to everybody. So just to keep them hydrated as well, it's warm in those cars sitting out there. You talked about it. It's in the mid-80s here for air temperature, and you're in a race car that's been warmer than that all day. It's long, so... you talk to them as they need to, but just let them kind of, you know, digest the day and do what they need to do mentally to be prepared for the 8 laps that we've got coming.
Just was looking back over the caution situations that we've had here this afternoon. We had only one caution for cause through the first 2 stages of the race. That one came out just a couple of laps into the event involving Josh Balicki and Ryan Sieg. The Balicki car, it got axle deep in the gravel trap, and the caution came out while safety crews had to come and pull that car back out and onto the racing surface. Other than that, yeah, we had a caution for the end of stage 1, the standard caution for the end of stage 2. But once we got into this final stage of the race, we had the Sheldon Creed incident where his car got torn up and then came to a stop on the racetrack back at lap 51. Alex had mentioned earlier where Shane Van Gisbergen, while battling for the lead, found himself off the course and into the safer barrier, ending his day. Then there was a caution for debris. And now this most recent caution leading to what is an ongoing red flag for now 40 minutes. That was when Austin Hill made contact with Michael McDowell on the short straight between the carousel and turn 6. So the final stage of this race has been very eventful as far as cautions for cause with incidents happening on the racetrack.
Yeah, Kurt, I was just checking the old Swatch Watcher, and you said around 40 minutes under this red flag. If you're just joining us and you popped on, and say, oh, wait a minute, is this live? Yeah, we are live. We've been under the red flag now for around 40 minutes for wall repair for a 16-car crash off of turn number 5. So if you're just joining us or if you just need a refresher, Steve Post, where are we at on strategy and Sunoco fuel still with 8 laps to go once we do go back under the green?
Well, we're good on that in that they were able to come down, and I think they're good even with a green-white checker. I haven't heard any conversation on it. What to me was interesting was when Connor Zilich got the lead and he kind of checked out, Marty Lindley was cautioning him of this. I don't know that he was cautioning him of a 40-minute red flag, but he said, save fuel and take care of your tires because we're likely to have another restart. And so I think they're good on fuel. I think they've all on the same, about the same sequence as far as tire goes. But it is interesting, a veteran like Marty Lindley, the crew chief for Connor Zilich, reminding him on those green flag laps before this red flag that we're not out of the woods yet, nor are they. So we should see what happens. But I feel like everything I've heard down here, they're good on fuel and probably good. This caution probably helps them to get them into an overtime, maybe even a second overtime if we get that far into the afternoon.
Well, we have a chanceless check back in over at Turn 6 with Tim Catalfamo. Tim, we talked about the heavy equipment now on the scene. Our friends at United Rentals has furnished a lot of that equipment. What's the update on the ongoing repair to the Armco barrier?
Well, there is a little bit of movement just within the last few seconds or so. Some of that heavy machinery has now started to back up and leave the incident scene where this repair work had been ongoing to the Armco barrier. The one construction vehicle that Dave was talking about earlier that was carrying the two Jersey barriers has now completely left that scene and is just working its way through turn number 6 right now. There was also a larger piece of machinery that was working on the wall. That piece of machinery has now gone off of the racetrack, and just as I am speaking right now, there are several trucks that are making the hard left-hand turn to go almost to where the boot of the racetrack is and are exiting off of the racing surface. The racing surface is clean. The track team here at Watkins Glen International has done a terrific job of cleaning up all the oil and debris. The holdup was trying to get the wall repaired, and just judging by how many vehicles are now leaving the scene of the incident and where the accident took place, I think that we are getting very close to getting back underway here in a few moments.
Let's hope that's the case, as looks like the final Elgin sweeper making one more pass across the racing surface itself to get some of that debris and grass up off of the racing surface. Todd, I think we're getting closer to at least putting the caution flag back out, which means a lot of these teams on the pit lane who have damaged race cars can finally start going to action. They've had more than enough time now to diagnose what they need to do and implement a plan.
Yeah, five cars sitting here on pit road that have at least had a look at what they've got. And you can get things staged out. You can get things pieces out. Like if you've got tape, I'm looking back here at the 27 car of Jeb Burton here. They've got Barabond already, like the backing peeled, laid on the ground behind it where they'll be able to apply that to it. You can't do anything to the car under red flag, but that doesn't mean you can't get prepared to work on the car under red flag. So these teams have got it worked out. They're going to try to get this done efficiently as possible. And then we're sitting here at 8 to go. We're going to have to open pit road. This is going to be what? A 5-lap shootout when we get done with this piece? Maybe 6? Have we seen the last caution yet?
I hope so, but we'll wait and find out together.
Well, and the good news is, okay, it is just a little after 6:15 local Eastern time. Alex, you had mentioned earlier that sunset is not till 8:05 p.m. Eastern. So we still have a couple of hours of daylight or so here, plenty of time, hopefully, to get this thing wrapped up and get back to racing here very shortly. Want to take a moment to note the day for Sam Mayer. We haven't said a whole lot about him today. He's had a fairly quiet day, although he has been running pretty strong throughout the course of the afternoon and into the evening here at Watkins Glen. He started in the fourth position. He finished the opening stage back in 21st position, but he finished stage 2 in the third spot, and he currently shows in fourth in the running order. So why mention all of that? Well, two reasons. Number one, Sam Mayer came into this race with some momentum coming off the victory, his first win of the season last weekend at Iowa. So it seems like that team's been able to keep some of that positive flow going throughout the course of this particular race. And he has picked up at least a few stage points. He's picked up 8 today. Again, he's looking for every single stage point he can get this evening and also in the remaining three races in the regular season. We touched on the fact that he has been one of the drivers that's been close in that battle for the regular season championship. And the command has just come for the drivers to refire their engines, so we should be back underway very shortly.
Yes, as we expect the caution flag to be put in the air any moment now. You mentioned the three races remaining in the regular season after Watkins Glen. As the caution is in the air, work now begins on the cars on the pit lane. We go to Daytona International Speedway, the road course at Portland International Raceway, and at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Those four races remaining. As this is working out right now, and it's unofficial again because of all the crashes and where cars may line up, but it looks like Harrison Burton may be inside the top 10 here after this latest crash. If that's the case, we know he's still running for sure, but Harrison was the last driver in the championship standings on points. He was a 17-point cushion coming into today's race. With him now being scored currently inside the top 10, and Ryan Sieg, the driver that was 17 points out, involved in this crash. Ryan Sieg, back around the 27th position, will be out of the race. This could be a monster day for Harrison Burton and his chance to be a playoff driver.
Yeah, to your point, Alex, unofficially now, Harrison Burton, after being 17 points above that cut line at the drop of the green flag today, unofficially, he currently stands 39 points to the good, and Ryan Sieg, the first driver below the cut line, is 39 points out. Jeb Burton, 42 out. Christian Eckes is 72 points down. So it could end up being a very good day for Harrison Burton, who is still involved in this race and, in fact, shows in the top 10 of the running order.
With the caution back out, Steve Post, Taylor Gray's beat-up race car crew is now giving it a pretty good workover.
Yeah, boy, they had a plan in place. Just as Todd Gordon talked about, you don't touch the car, but you can plan on and work on it, and they are going to town on the car. As a matter of fact, they've got that car buttoned back up and back out, but all the parts and pieces they needed to work on it was there. It's just veteran leadership with Jason Ratcliffe calling the shots here in that amount of time. It was a quick repair for Taylor Gray, and he is back and down and out on the racetrack.
And that's before the fields come back. The pace car is just past the entrance to pit road. They've cleared pit road. That maintains them on the lead lap. They can catch back up and put themselves in position to fight another lap.
Justin Allgaier has peeled off the racetrack to come to pit lane. Kaz Grala has done the same. Chris Wilner, Kaz Grala's pink Toyota's in front of you.
Yeah, they're going to top it off with fuel. Kaz Grala, having a nice solid day, was able to really avoid the carnage under that last red flag. He came within mere inches of getting swept up in it. But Kaz Grala in that second Toyota for Sam Hunt Racing, going to make his way down, top it off with fuel, and use this opportunity to make sure that they are good to the finish.
Justin Allgaier has his car into the attention of the crew. This looks like routine four-tire stop, Sunoco Racing Fuel. I'll step down and check with Jim Pullman to see if this was just nothing to gain is what they're saying, where they were at on the racetrack. Might as well put four tires on it. Further down pit road, damage on the Jesse Love car. The rear end is really tore up on that machine. The bumper cover is all pushed in, and they've also got damage all across the front of the Jesse Love machine. So damage repair continues, and a couple of late race pit stops here as we're back under caution.
And we now circulate under the caution flag, back under the yellow flag. Again, seven cautions for 17 laps and counting here this afternoon. As Alex told you, a lot of lead changes here at start-finish. 15 lead changes among eight drivers here today. Connor Zilich has led more laps than anyone. He, of course, won this race 1 year ago in his career debut in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He has led for 54 of the 75 laps here today and, in fact, shows as the race leader with just under seven laps remaining.
Well, and that's the key, and I was going to point that out. Now, under the caution, the laps continue to count when they come back by the start-finish line. No word yet if we're going to get the one-to-go signal. That's normally given where the field is right now on the race course, and that's headed into the inner loop. So we will not get the one to go this time. There'll be six to go. If we get it next time and get the green, there'll be, what, six, maybe five laps to go. I can do math. There'll be five laps to go once we get the green, should we get the one to go next time by.
Yeah, right now the field is over on the backside of the course, as Alex mentioned, coming out of the inner loop and working their way around that long right-hander turn five that is known as the carousel. And again, a tip of the hat to everyone on the safety and cleanup crews. That was an arduous task, but they have done it and done it well. We are now ready to go back racing here very shortly. As Alex said, we've not gotten the one to go to signal yet. yet, but that'll be coming up here, no doubt, very soon.
As the teams now drive through for the second time, the accident site that took place there, the track cleaned up there. But, Todd, a lot of these drivers that got through this crash, is there any concern when you go through something that you might drive over a piece of debris and hurt your race car?
Yes. Yeah, there is. But, you know, we've had a long enough caution here that if you were going to run something over and cut a tire and have a leak, we sat for 40 minutes. So they've already gone through the debris field when the wreck happened. That NASCAR did a good job of cleaning this and put themselves in a position. So this first lap out, you should have had a good feel for what it was. Steve Post?
And that's why Justin Allgaier pitted. He felt like he ran over stuff. And no, the tire didn't go down, but it was just an uneasy feeling that he had. And Jim Pohlman said, well, let's come down and put tires on. They were they were outside of the top five. They were running in the back half of the top ten, I think. So they're going to give up some spots here, but they got four tires. One of the other things Jim shared with me pre-race when we were talking about fuel windows, he kind of looked at me and smiled. He said, have you seen the end of these NASCAR races?
And we have trouble here in turn number five. It looks like the Nick Sanchez car came by my position, was trying to catch up to the tail end of the field, got wide to the exit of turn five, that long sweeping right-hander, and is into the outside safer barrier or the outside tires here at Watkins Glen. So even trouble here under the yellow here under this lengthy caution flag.
Gold Chevrolet of Nick Sanchez, just as Kyle described, has nosed into the outside tire barrier. As Kyle mentioned, Nick was making his way through the carousel turn number five, but instead of making the exit of that corner, the car didn't turn. It just kept going straight, went off the course of driver's left and right into the tires.
Well, he was one of the cars involved in the multi-car crash, or he already had damage to the car. Clearly something broken on that car, Todd.
I feel like maybe a left front tire went down or something in this steering suspension went down, but he got wedged under the tires. You could see him trying to back out. The tires are just spinning. Reminded me of that barrier they had at Chicago into turn six when the cars would get pinned under it and back. They just got to get the tire barrier off the car to get it back out of there.
Nick Sanchez told us just a few days ago here at the Motor Racing Network that being one of the drivers that is locked into the playoffs, we had asked him.
Porque le gusta que el general, todas las acabó, la fiesta ahora empezó. Fuego, fuego, ya venga los bomberos. Fuego, fuego, ya venga los bomberos. Si el tipo en el que llegara, ponen a todo el mundo a gozar. Esta fiesta no se puede acabar, porque ahora empezó de verdad. Fuego, fuego, ya venga los bomberos. Fuego, fuego, ya venga los bomberos.
Dos minutos.
Cintura sola.
Uno, uno, dos, uno. Dos, 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 uno, 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 dos, dos. I don't hear myself. Well, there you go. Okay. Uno, dos, 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 uno.
Good. Sound check, 1, 2. Sound check, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sound check, 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno.